think we need to be careful in spirit-filled moments, not to quench the spirit. In times like this, I sure don't want to quench the spirit with something foolish. And thank the Lord for the wonderful preaching and teaching that Brother Tom was blessed of God to deliver unto us.
Amen.
As he was preaching that, talking about our words need to be sound, it made me think of where the Bible tells us that evil communications corrupt good manners. Mm-hmm. I can share with him. A lot of things have gone in through the years and into my mind that I wish had not. Mm-hmm. And it's corrupted my manners. I assume that the inverse of that statement is true, that holy communications improve manners.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we're given the holy conversation and holy discourse with one another, that's bound to improve our habits and our conduct. So Brother Tom has ably and wonderfully, he's a father and counselor in the ministry to me, and I thank God for him, for his gift, and for his wisdom. He's talked to us about singing, and I'd like to try to preach to you today about some things in the Bible that speak. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. I want to read about a precious commodity that, although it doesn't utter audible language, like Brother James preached so wonderfully to us this weekend, the stars and the planets and the things in the sky, they speak to us. It's not an audible language, but they speak to us. And there's something found in Genesis chapter 4, and Bible students will know where I'm going to go with it after that. But there is something that, although it's not an audible voice, it speaks. In Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew Eve, his wife, but she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I remember hearing Brother Vernon preach years ago about Cain's offering had come from the ground that God had cursed. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. The first baby ever born was a murderer. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And he goes on to tell the punishment that Cain received for this murder. But the Lord told Cain here that thy brother's blood speaks to me. Thy brother's blood speaks to me. I don't understand this at all to be something that was audible, but the Lord says, I hear this with my natural ears, although there's nothing natural about God. But he's telling Cain here that there is something that cries unto me from the ground. This is on. There is something that cries unto me from the ground. He's saying the blood of Abel speaks to me. It tells me something. It tells me some things. Now, I cannot declare to you that I know exactly what God heard from the blood of Abel. But so if you'll allow me, I'm going to tell you some things that I feel like I hear from the blood of Abel. But before doing that, I want to share a few experiences with you. And like we talked about last night in the lobby, experiences are like salt in our preaching. You know, a little bit can help it, but a lot ruins the meal. And I want to be very careful not to stir up too many emotions unnecessarily. I want to use this as a jumping off point to where we're going with this. But in my life, I'm not a big cemetery visitor. If you are, that's fine. As long as you know there's no consciousness in the grave. You know, David spoke to his son Absalom when he died. I find that to be all right, as long as you understand it biblically. You know, that there's not able to speak back to you. As long as you understand that in the dead body, there's no consciousness there. But David said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son. Absalom, my son." And I suspect we've all had times in life where we've spoken to somebody that has passed away, that we love dearly, that we long to be able to be with them. And I'm 52. Half my life ago, when I was 26, a friend of mine died in a work accident. I was about to leave town and go to Bud Luke's grandpa's funeral, and I got the call that my friend had died in a work accident. Half my life ago now. And it still hurts. There's still a sting to death. And when I have gone to his grave, to his spot in the cemetery, there's some things that cried out of the ground to me from Brian's passing. Brian was working in an industrial setting, and they had been tied up, with the scaffolds up. And when it came time, they're about to go home, well, there's one board left. From what I've heard, nobody knows exactly what happened in this situation. Oh, there's one more board. You go ahead and sign out, I'll go get it. Brian went up, climbed up into the pipe rack, and he got the scaffold board. It appears he went to duck up underneath something. When he came up, his head hit something and he didn't know it was there. And he lost his balance and he fell over. So what I think about the death of my friends, one thing that speaks to me, his blood speaking from the ground, is an accidental death. One that could have been avoided. Right? Those safety procedures are written for a reason. You're up there, tie off the harness. It's an avoidable death. It didn't have to be that way. But a young man in the so-called prime of his life, he had stepped out. Those are some of the things that cry out to me from the ground with Brian's blood. And I miss him. And my grandfather, Papa, as we call him, don't mean to be getting my family emotional, but when I think about Papa dying, and I won't go into the details about what he endured as a married man for 48 years. I'm blessed to be able to wear his ring, my wedding ring. But he was a faithful husband for a long time in a difficult situation. And when I think about Papa having died, not somebody that was a forefather of the faith among the Primitive Baptists, although he had some taste of that in his life. But when I think about his passing and I think about what speaks to me from his blood from the ground, I think about a loving grandfather that made each of us feel like we were the most special in his life. And I think about a faithful husband dealing with a very difficult situation in life, but being faithful anyway. And when I think about Papa's death, when I think about his spot in the cemetery, I think about, you know, there's some things that cry into the ground to me from his blood. You probably have people in your mind that you're thinking about now, people that you've lost in life, people that we've lost mutually in life. And so there's some things that cry into the ground to me from them. Well, God said, Abel's blood cries unto the ground to me. So again, I cannot guarantee that I know what God heard, but I'll tell you some things that I think that I understand from Abel's blood crying unto the ground. And one thing that cries to me about Abel's blood is that the innocent died. The innocent died. And at the hands of a wickedness. I'm not going to wax bold and say that I know the destiny of Cain. Maybe you have a strong argument to make about that, and that's fine. I'll be glad to hear that. I'm not going to wax bold and say that I know that, but so when I say wickedness, I'm going to talk about the wicked actions, not necessarily that he was among the wicked, although maybe he was. But you see, when we think about Abel, the way that he was slain, and we understand, I think you'll agree with me, that I've already heard it from your amens, that when it comes to Abel having died, what cries into the ground is the innocent having been slain by wickedness. He didn't deserve that, so to speak. By human reckoning, he didn't deserve that. He had offered a good sacrifice unto God. And when you and I see somebody offer a good sacrifice unto God, what our response should be is that I want to offer such a sacrifice. I want to learn from my brothers and sisters in Christ that are offering better than I am, and I want to learn how better to offer sacrifices unto God. And that's one of the reasons why you, each one of you in this congregation, is such a blessing to me, because I can look at my brothers and sisters in Christ and see things that they do effectively in the service of God, and I can learn, I'm not so effective at that, and I need to be better at that. And you can help hold my arms up in times of sorrow and in times of trouble. And I can also look at your sacrifices and I can learn from them and say, their sacrifices are far better than mine. What do I need to do to offer a more acceptable sacrifice? But that's not what Cain did, was it? Cain was acting according to the nature. Cain acted like somebody, oh, so-and-so preaches so wonderfully, there is something wrong with him. It's not as good of a prayer as you might think it is. Oh, I know something about so-and-so that other people don't know. You know, that's what the nature starts to say. The nature starts to find fault with the child of God and with the sacrifices that people give unto God. The man by nature will find flaws in those that have offered up a good thing and have been commended by God. And that's what Cain was acting towards. And we need to be careful not to act with that type of jealousy and type of bitterness. But Cain acted in jealousy and in bitterness. And instead of commending his brother, instead of learning from his younger brother, he slew his brother. He killed his brother. He rose up and he slew him. And God had told him already. He said, if thou doest well. You know, if thou doest well, that's a good thing. And if not, sin lieth at the door. You know what God didn't say? God didn't say, oh, let's compare you to Abel. God didn't really do that. God didn't say, why can't you be more like your brother? God just said, let's deal with the matter. Let's deal with the facts of this. It's good if you do well. And if you don't, sin lies at the door. Don't worry about your brother. Jesus said something similar to Peter, didn't he? When he told Peter that when thou wast young, thou wouldest about how thou would, but when thou art old, they shall gird thee about and take thee where thou wouldest not go. Right? Peter understood what Jesus was saying, as I understand it.
Right.
Peter understood that Jesus is telling me, I'm going to die a martyr's death. Well, what does man do by nature when you get a message like that?
Yeah.
What about this brother?
What about this?
What about him?
Yeah.
Well, do your children do that?
Yep.
Go do the dishes. What about him? What about her? Right? That's what the flesh says. Yeah. The flesh will find fault in those that do good, and it'll try to puff itself up. And God just said, let's deal with the facts. You just worry about yourself. And if you offer an acceptable sacrifice, oh, and Hebrews 11 tells us a lot about what was acceptable about Abel's sacrifice, didn't it? By faith.
Right?
By faith. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Right? That makes a huge difference. And by the way, there's such a precious widow in my life that I called her, one that I try to pastor. Sister Maxine. I love Sister Maxine. And I'll ask her sometimes, Sister Maxine, you been reading anything in the Bible or anything you want to ask about or talk about? I may not have an answer, but you know, I'd love to hear your questions. And Sister Maxine, she was asking me about the offerings of Cain and Abel. You know, there's another example about how godly conversation improves our conduct.
Amen.
You know, I'm thankful Sister Maxine asked me some questions about this. It's stirring my mind up about that. It's a good thing for us to inquire in his temper.
Right.
So we find out from Hebrews 11 that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice because it was by faith. Cain's was not by faith. Abel's was by faith. That don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. The faith had a lot to do with it. But piggybacking off of Brother Vernon's point from several years ago, and I shared that with her, you know, one thing that was a whole lot different about Abel's sacrifice than Cain's, Abel's was the shedding of blood, right? And somebody mentioned this to me here recently, they were talking about this, you know, that he probably heard from Adam and Eve, from his mom and dad, about when God covered them in their nakedness. You reckon they probably taught that to their children? You know, we parents have to confess some faults and failures to our kids and skeletons from the past. And it's important for us to be willing to share those things so that they can learn from mistakes and not repeat our mistakes.
Amen.
And Adam and Eve, if we love your child, we'll do that. And if you love the cause of Christ, you'll make yourself vulnerable enough to do that. And share with them, please don't do what I did. Please learn from my mistakes. You reckon Adam and Eve did that with their children? Well, they said, we messed up and we messed up bad. And the reason why y'all are sinners is because we ate of that fruit. And Adam had to face that for 950 years. He had to face the fact that my children are doing wickedly because of my sin. Everything was perfect until I rebelled against God and I ate that fruit. You reckon Mama and Daddy told the children what happened when they had committed that sin? And we tried fig leaves and that didn't work. And we should have known better. Fig leaves are going to wither away. But what God did was He killed an animal. He killed an animal and He made a coat. He made a cloak for them to cover that up. Something that's a more permanent covering than fig leaves, right? What did God do for the sin of Adam upon the people of God? He covered us with something more permanent. The only thing that's completely permanent when it comes to covering sin, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. And we find out from Hebrews chapter 11 again. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12. Where He says, well, you have come unto Mount Zion. And He starts to say the things that we come unto in the kingdom of God. And we come unto God in worship. And I think it's as if we get elevated a little bit. And we get a little closer to the throne. And it's a little bit closer so that we're witnessing a little bit more what the angels witness all the time. And He says, this is what you come unto. And He says, unto the blood of sprinkling. Oh, the blood of sprinkling. And He says, it's the blood of a new covenant, which speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood speaks some good things. I'm innocent. Wickedness did this to me. But Jesus' blood speaks better things, right? Was He innocent? Was He a better innocent than Abel?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, He's a better innocent than Abel, wasn't He? Because Abel was a sinner. You might say, preacher, prove that by the Bible, because we don't find anything that Abel did wrong. I'll point you back to Romans chapter 5.
Here you go. Perfect. Yeah.
So preach wonderfully this weekend. And Adam all died.
Amen.
You know, I don't have to go find a record of Abel's sin. I know that Abel was a sinner. Because he was born of sin, he was conceived in sin, and death passed upon all men.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
So Abel was innocent. But Jesus was a better innocent.
Yeah.
He never done anything wrong. Like the thief on the cross said, this man hath done nothing amiss. He's altogether lovely. Mm. His blood speaks better coming from the ground than Abel's. I died at the hands of wickedness, Abel's blood says to me. Does it say that to you? How about Jesus? Is He a better example of dying at the hands of wickedness? Oh my goodness, He is. And Peter said that today at Pentecost. With wicked hands ye had crucified and slain the Son of God. The Son of God. So it's a great offense to have killed Abel. But it's a greater offense to have killed the Son of God manifest in the flesh. Now let's be careful. They didn't take His life. He laid it down. Right? But they were guilty of murder. Right? They were guilty of murder. It speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And whatever thing that you find that's a good speaking from the ground of the blood of Abel, you're going to find in Jesus, it speaks so much better. Right? It speaks so much better. But no, but even the blood of Abel, where you're going to say, okay, it speaks this good thing, Jesus is better. It speaks this good thing, Jesus is speaking is better. Well, there are some things that are spoken by the blood of Abel that Jesus' blood doesn't speak the same thing.
Right.
Because while Abel was not deserving by human reckoning for his brother to slay him and to kill him, Abel did deserve death. Right? Not by recorded actions that he had done. Not because he had violated one of the Ten Commandments and we have it recorded, so yeah, he should be stoned like the woman in John chapter 8. Right? Nothing like that. But what we know about sinful nature and about Abel having been born to Adam was that he deserved to die. He deserved to die. Now, whether you like that or not, it's true that Abel deserved to die because he was a sinner, conceived in sin, and he was fit for hell had it not been for the blood of Christ, right?
Amen.
Abel was deserving to die. Not in the manner that he did. Cain was unjust, but he deserved punishment. He deserved sin. He deserved eternal hell. Right? He deserved eternal hell. Does the blood of Jesus say that? Oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, no, it doesn't. But you know what happened? What we know from the blood of Jesus Christ is that he suffered the wrath of God that we did deserve. That speaks something so much better than Abel, does it not? The fact that Abel's blood says, I'm guilty, and although I didn't deserve this death, I didn't deserve to die, and I deserve hell. Jesus' blood doesn't say that. Jesus' blood says, I am innocent, I am righteous, I deserve glory around the throne of God, but I'm going to suffer for my people so that they'll be glorified. Woo, that's a lot better than Abel's blood, isn't it? That speaks a whole lot better things than Abel's blood. And you know that Abel's blood didn't cover anybody? Right? It didn't cover anybody. Now, Brother Tom was in Ephesians chapter 5, and if you carry on there where it says, husbands, love your wives, you know, the wives are going to be submission to their husbands and everything. And then he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know another way of saying that is, he shed his blood for it. And then it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, he's gone from the cleansing and the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ to now saying, and I'm going to cleanse and purify her from time to time by my words. Right? By my words. And if we as husbands love our wives as Christ loved the church, we've taken that covenant that we're going to be faithful unto them for the rest of our lives. But you know, they need some cleansing sometimes by our words. They need to hear some words from us that remind us that we see them as beautiful and we see them as clean. It's not a, I told you once and that was enough for the rest of our life. We have to remind them. And I can tell you from experience from my sweet, precious wife, that there's times when she feels like she's falling short. And she feels like that she's not meeting the expectations that she ought to. And it's my job as her husband that loves her to remind her what Jesus does to you. To sanctify, set her apart. My words should speak to Sister Donna in a way that's so much different than I speak to any other sister in the church.
Amen.
And Jesus speaks to you in a different way than he speaks to all of Adam's race. And we're to sanctify, set them apart for a holy purpose. Let them know that we lift them up and we hold them in higher regard than we do any others. Oh, thou art fair, my love, thou art fair.
Amen.
Right, thou hast dove's eyes. Jesus has spoken in such a way to us. And we should speak in such ways to our wives to sanctify and cleanse them. I know I feel dirty in this world, and I need some words to remind me that I'm clean.
Yeah.
And our wives need to be reminded of our love for them.
Amen.
And we need to have some cleansing words with our wives to remind them of how special we hold them. But while Abel's blood spoke some beautiful and wonderful things, and Abel's blood spoke from the ground some noble things, Abel's blood never cleansed
anybody. Right, that's right.
But Jesus' blood speaks from the ground loud and clear to my feeble ears. I have cleansed thee. As much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversations, such as silver and gold from your vain conversations, but with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
Right? Abel didn't cleanse anybody. But Jesus' blood speaketh better things.
Yeah.
And those better things is the fact that his blood has cleansed all of his redeemed. And it cleansed them once forever.
Yeah.
Now, you believe that, right?
Amen.
You believe that?
Yeah.
If you believe that the blood of Abel has spoken better things, and it speaks that to you from the ground, I'm sorry, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood speaks better things, and it speaks to you from the ground, then you can understand Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, where he says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God.
Amen.
Right? Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Pardon me while I have gone. Blank on that next part. Thank you. I need to go to verse before. But the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. You know, he's saying that if the Old Testament blood that was shed from these animals was enough to help them along their way, to help them feel like that they had some peace with God, to help them feel like that they had obeyed God in a way that was a cleansing, so to speak. I mean, it didn't purify anybody. Don't misunderstand me. Don't let my people in time give you the wrong impression. But this was something that was pleasing to God. They were doing it in obedience unto God. He says, so if this was a good thing, right? If this was something to help them on their way, in their Old Testament discipleship, you might say, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? He's not saying purging you to eternal life. He's saying purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So you see what he's saying here. The Old Testament blood had some good purpose and it helped them along their way in their discipleship. How much more shall the blood of Christ? Because if that Old Testament blood spoke some good things, how much more shall the blood of Christ speak to you and purge your conscience? You know, because a child of God can be cleansed by the blood of Christ and not know it. But the gospel message turns the lights on with that and lets them know you've been cleaned by Jesus Christ. You've been made whole. You've been made at one with God. At one with God, and not by your works of righteousness, by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only cleansing effect for heaven there has ever been. And if you know that, and if you can contrast the blood of the Old Testament to the blood of Jesus, you can have a clean conscience now that knows, I can serve God.
Amen.
I can serve God because my conscience is made clean, knowing I'm not going to heaven by the works that I've done. But since it's by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, now I have a conscience that can say, I'm not earning my way to heaven. But since He's made heaven my home, I am working for God. I am serving the Almighty God that has loved me and gave Himself for me. And I can do that because the blood of Jesus speaks so much better things than Abel. I love you all so much.
Amen.
God bless you.